Now, why don't we do this till later? You can put down some ideas about political theory or take a beginning of a theory, premise, and what you can draw from it. You can even take this thing, you know, about the church. Say something about the church. Just start. I mean, don't worry about it being right. The point here is that each person is different. Each person has different experiences. The mistakes are going to be different. As long as people bring here, don't worry about how bad it is. That's the whole point of the particular errors or questions you should be getting out of it. So don't anybody get uptight about that. I knew because I saw that look. No, but it's important, and people will have snags at different places. Some people will have very bad snags. You're one of them, it's a problem. So just jump off. Just close your eyes while you're not jump off. But other things can make you very good later in terms of appearance and to get picky and really watch everything being wrong. Just put down. You can do it in a deductive form. The first premise, second premise.
And it's, we have to move on these things and with people ready to. And okay, now, political theory has several of these peculiar features we've already talked about. One, it's the only kind of theory where the agent's making the theory and is in it too. Is the subject and the object of theory, in other words, working on it and in it, which of course, you know, is like a Lulu. And I realize that because of some of the features of political theory, that if people in the workshop only do political theory rather than having a better understanding of theory generally, they're going to be vulnerable to certain kinds of mistakes. Now, this, of course, has always been on my mind. In 18 weeks, how far can you go? Well, my job is to do the very best I can, you know, whether it's 18 or 20 or what it comes out to make sure people have checks and balances within themselves, because while we all should start traveling alone now, things are getting kind of tight. So I want to deal with theory again more generally than just political theory, and I want people to practice each time, I think now, creating an argument or theory of some kind They can try all different kinds of ways, and I'll go over each one and make all the notes I can of this is what this is, and this is what it amounts to, and now these are the these are some problems of it, because there are many different kinds of theory, and I was starting to make a lot of notes about what kinds. So I'm going to try and make sure people have a better grounding, because I have to watch myself not be giving answers instead of tools. So what I want you to discuss first of all is theory and what it is. Now, with that in mind, what would be the difference between, say, a theory? Now, a theory is supposed to be an explanation of some phenomenon, whether it's an event, a single fact, or what. What would be the difference between an explanation theory and a discovery theory? Don't talk to me, talk to each other. It's a good one. Huh?
The difference between what?
What would be the difference between
explanation theory,
and a discovery theory? Because there are some theories. Well, you talk about it. That's all. Talk among yourselves. But just try and keep in mind that each person put in as much as possible the same amount.
That's like the problem I've had today. And just in writing, I'm trying to write in a very logical sequence that halfway through, I've got another theory going. It happened. And I didn't know it. And I had to stop and say, go away, you know, take it out and go back to my original premise and begin again.
That happened to me on this too.
Yes.
But save those pieces.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah.
It's funny because that happened to me in doing this.
It threw off my whole ending, and I said, "Oh, gee, you know, I'm going in another direction already."
So, in other words, you're saying that you found yourself in the middle of a discovery theory.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ellen was going to say something.
I have an explanation theory. Much simpler than explaining facts that are already known. And discovery theory is searching for something that I have no idea what you're going to find. Possibly like posing a question and then through the running through the analysis of it, coming to the conclusion. Yeah, like not knowing the answer, but trying to find it by all these pieces being put together.
A theory that we here in the workshop feel is false. Jean's theory that T. Grace's decision to ask her to go is oppressive.
Yeah. Well, she loses sight of the fact as to why what is the nature of the workshop and why it exists, and she has lost sight of its existence, and instead has put it on a very personal plane as.
So her theory is false.
Sure. Yeah. Because she's not working within the workshop; she's working against the workshop, which stops her whole. Which makes her statement false, because the nature of the workshop is to work with something, understand something, and work towards an ultimate goal.
Well, I was bringing it up in reference to the explanation discovery. Mm. She thought that she was giving us an explanation theory. And she discovered an excuse.
Yes.
For herself.
Definitely, right. Yeah, well, that was like trying to turn the essence of what we're all about, which is oppression, and throw it back into our lap, which is a good way to fight somebody, but sometimes it can backfire on you.
Could it also have something to do with this is very common in the movement, the star theory. It's funny, when I went to Flint, I said, any stars out there? Come on, honey.
Right, you know? Exactly.
Come get a privilege. One thing in this country, they got enough for everybody, bullets. Come on, right? Now all of a sudden, so that you come into motive. Mm. Now when you deal with political theory especially, although motive in terms of philosophy of psychology and all is very important, it obviously plays a part in political theory. You've got to account for why.
But that's
so that, in other words, this... Her saying, She was the, like Washington, in other words, she was projecting from why she individually, I couldn't believe when I saw her in the flesh, yes. who was, she was going to be an observer to our getting roasted in the pit. I mean, it was like, I just couldn't believe it. So that it's from like personally standing outside to then projecting and saying, well, number one, when you have questions about somebody, when you plan to maybe spring certain information on the opposition, you don't put out all the details. But that wasn't just me who was going to get it.
Yeah, you see, I was stupid that evening. I saw her before I went and said, gee, you're not going to be able to get in unless you know who to contact. Luckily, I didn't say who to contact.
Well, except that she was not in the pit.
I know. But then I realized later from what she said to me, she wasn't going in the pit. And I said, oh, and that's when I dropped and left, you see.
But then why come?
Right.
That was the question that later developed.
Yes, but I mean, as far as like, when you deal with something, with an argument, okay, you always have to distinguish. That's why that logic book is important. That's one thing I'm going to really make a requirement. Everybody has to read that chapter on fallacies.
May I have the name?
Yeah, it's Elements of Logic by Barker.
Do you have any idea where would be a good place to get it?
Yes.
I've got a real problem.
Yes. Up near Columbia. I can't think of the name. It's at about 115th Street on the west side of the street.
It's called,
can't think of it either, but it's, can't miss it.
There are two bookstores. It's the one nearest the downtown corner.
Oh. Who's the author?
Okay. Barker.
B-A-R-K-E-R.
And you'll get a used copy. But you.
Now this, what I mean by looking at, I want you to understand the fallacies so that you won't make them yourself, because there is a fallacy here. Well, see, there are ad hominem arguments. I call them ad feminem, but I mean the classic name is ad hominem. So when you see in my papers ad feminem argument, that's what I'm talking about. An ad hominem argument is when you attack the person rather than the argument. Mm. Now, generally speaking, if somebody attacks the person right away, I'm just saying from my experience, it tends to be really an ad hominem argument. However, there are certain times when certain ad hominem aspects can be in the argument, but they would not be certainly the body of it.
Yeah, well, you do that technique, I think. I think you employed that technique in your speech.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
She was saying I'm
for it. She raised that in her speech. Yes. She spoke about Clarence. And
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And talking about the saying, first of all, you establish the fact that what they say you did and what they did on the basis of that was false. Then you prove, in that case, it was impossible for them to have thought it was true. At which point you say, why did they pick that? They obviously picked that, and you start looking for the reasons why. But you would not, if you just started out with that, saying the reason they picked that was because that was the source of authority, it would have been a much weaker argument.
Mm, mm.
In the same way with Jean, the table to an extent attacked, well, at first they were trying to get it more general, which is good.
Right.
But then sort of the personal. Now, from the beginning, Jean has not wanted to deal with herself. And this is one of the things I saw in Washington with people on the trip. They didn't want to examine themselves, why we made mistakes, because everybody saw that, everybody thought, I think, or a lot of people thought I was paranoid, right? And then once things happened, then there was a sort of fear of looking within oneself. That's why people have to be on a certain level if you're going to keep on moving, because you have to do the self-examination, and your commitment has to be so heavy that you can do it and it doesn't destroy you, you know. So that the thing of it's not women but society, that I am not in it. I'm saying I am Jean right now.
Oh,
putting this argument.
I couldn't.
I am not a member of it. Now, I cannot examine why I am not prepared to give up this position. And keep in mind, the Washington position was also an outsider. of the class. And as a matter of fact, you're against searching.
You know, Jessie said the same thing tonight. She was going to go, but not make the search.
So that again, it's a way of being an outsider. And if you're an outsider, it's somebody else's problem, and it's you can see why they have to deal with it, but you don't, because you're afraid. You know what's out there, and it's amazing. Like going through it now, saying, "Oh well." For some reason, you seem to have the personal experience to know the Catholic Church is relevant, but I just never knew it was relevant. Well, now you know, right? So that then again, tonight, you say, it must be, it's not me, because what I'm saying, I accept as the truth. That is that women as a class are not oppressed in some heavy or special way. If that's the case, then in the ordinary mind, in other words, people who haven't done logic a lot, think for some reason if it's kind of looser, there can be more counterexamples, which is not the case, but it's kind of like more can leak out, you know? So that you don't have to get in that pit.
Yeah, well, that's an indefinite, and it's all over the place.
Yes, but it is, it's a pattern. And that's where, again, the minute women walked into that place and saw anything off, you shoot to the telephone, you say, something's wrong. The second you see something, something's wrong, you pull back and you start, you caucus and you investigate so that you have the offensive, you have the, you know, power.
At least the option for the offensive.
Well, I mean, you... listen, I'm glad I didn't know afterward. So once you've said it's not me, then always it's much better to say it's one other person than a number of other people, because if it's a number of other people, it's a stronger argument just by virtue of numbers. So that in that sense, the psychology, if and you have to be really careful, because that's the most tempting fallacy for people to make, especially women, because this is part of the natural pathology for us, is to fix blame on somebody for some reason we would expect to be weaker, in a position weaker. So, to see, I mean, in the, that's why I wanted her to come to that meeting. She didn't want to come because she did not want to hear everybody say what they had been saying. Because she won't be able to then go around and say, T. Grace was just mad at me because I didn't, go along in Washington. And she won't have that option, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. If she refuses to come, which I suspect she will, be prepared for flack. Although most likely I would get it, and I think if anybody runs into a Warner that I'm very low on tolerance for flack. More and more. And I now know that all women aren't my friends. Conscious, very consciousness raising, a blow in the head. You know? Okay, so that was just something about taking an example. Also, just something I want to interject and then go on talking about it. You said that you started a theory and then you found yourself into another. One difference between a discovery and an explanation. One reason I hate to do theory is I am always involved in, I have a kind of piece of something. And I'm going to explore it, and I discover a lot. And I hate to do sit down and write because I know I'm going to discover things that are going to mess up my life more. Right? Like, Catholic University and that paper was a discovery theory with implications, physical, so on, right? So that one aspect of a discovery theory that I had a note for was you have part of the causality. It then needs you to discover other parts, which then you call which together with the initial information, you know, you get both the connections and their parts. Then you get something that seems, you go by instinct and partly aesthetic, which is, I hate that word, but where you think that somehow you have explained something that is a sufficient weight to stand on its own. Because you can go on forever from any point. So that you get the, you have part of the causality, you want the rest of the problem, you discover connections and their parts, which together with the initial information makes up a solution, what is then called a theory. So that's one kind of way. And I think that if people write things every week and talk about their experience in writing it, that we will discover a great deal together and open up certain possibilities to each other of the range, and then able to separate it into major portions. You were saying something about when you were writing?
I'm so upset that the man had a gun.
I was going to say, Friday when we met, Ruthie weren't here, yours, but so one of us shared the situation. And the biggest, the essence of the whole problem was, I'm afraid to write theory because I'm afraid to make mistakes. How do I approach writing it? And we had to get down to, well...
You better be afraid if you don't make mistakes. We all know that leads now.
Well, that was...
We said we don't want to look stupid at this.
Right.
So we all agreed that.
Was giving itsy bitsy little examples of birds have feathers, so therefore things with feathers are birds, you know, those kinds of things. And we hassled with it. We talked about it. Everyone had put forth their fears about what was. But it all came down to one big thing, was not so much the writing, but where do you begin? What was the beginning?
Well, keep in mind that we have to give an explanation of the universe.
Well.
So you can start any place, and you better start a little bigger.
Are you confused about, do we start at the conclusion, or do we start at
where does the conclusion happen?
Well, that's one of the differences between an explanation
and
a discovery theory.
That,
an explanation, you have a problem. Like, say, for instance, you have a disease, right? So take, you know, one thing I want you to do here is, it's so complicated because the reasons people are afraid are, you know, more complex than, I mean, I realize that now. It's not just looking stupid. It's fear of getting those tools.
How do I don't account for that?
How do you account for that?
I can't.
Very simple, because everybody knows it isn't just, I mean, there are a lot of people who have the same tools I have.
Yes.
They're not getting slucked, you know? So, people are always afraid to confront themselves. And everything is a process of confronting yourself and feeling upset, ashamed, questioning, standing alone.
I think that comes down to a self kind of morality that you either impose on yourself or you don't. You know, a kind of sort of ethics or principles that you work by.
Well, I think, as I said, it's quite complex, and I was thinking about it, because this is a very great problem in the women's movement. People are busy most of the time. Women's movement should have a lot of experience with theory construction, because most of the time they're building theories of why they didn't. You know? It's just it's the same pattern all the time. So that, like, I became much better at theory construction I became very angry, like on abortion, and I saw women were dying, and it made me very angry. So I wanted to be able to fight as best as possible. But why one woman is prepared to face and let herself feel that those women are dying, and the vast majority don't?
Well, it's a matter of action and non-action, I would say.
I don't know. It's a matter of, I just don't know. I don't have the answer to it. And it's, as I said, all I can say is that as the mistakes that were made, some of which surprised me in Washington, the fact that when the shit hit, people moved. Certainly, you know, to me, it justified my original faith. But I think what I'm trying to get at is that You have to develop these muscles of thinking. And you have to just, there is so much ground to cover that you can't lose. Just grab on any place. And it's not the mistakes people are worrying about. It's the skills people are worrying about. And that's why I think later, another we have to talk about what happened and just, I mean, anybody who wasn't scared shitless is crazy, you know?
It counts the tranquilizers.
Right. Listen. Okay, so that's one part of it. You can have, you have a little idea and you think that's funny. Like, say, for instance, I can think the paper I wrote on love seemed to me that I had a number of experiences that were disasters and that had been glued together on the basis of some emotional feeling that was totally repugnant to the facts. In other words, I felt love in spite of, which was in my own head I was making up, because the treatment I was receiving was all in all abusive. Now, when I look back over the, you know, this, right? Finally, I wasn't talking to my friends in women's movement who would keep on saying, you must have misunderstood. Well, I have somebody sort of clubbed you, I mean, over the head several times. Finally I got disgusted with that, and I just thought, you know, you're the one with the problem, to myself, and went off and tried to figure this out, starting just with that much of, how is it possible that you can be in love with somebody who treats you badly? Now, out of that came a very long paper that really was much longer than was ever published, because it was, you know, just went on and on and on. So that when I reached a certain point where I thought I had established certain important new ideas, I put the paper out. But it could go on and on. In other words, some of the distinctions to mental state versus what's the difference between that and friendship? You know, how is this? So that was a case where you had, most philosophy, by the way, comes out of something that happens or something that passes, something catches your eye as interesting. Now, I wonder, that seems like a contradiction. You know, you see something that seems interesting. That's what I keep saying. Nothing else that one is interesting. And you, in trying to resolve that, you build a theory. Now, that's mostly what I've been into in political theory. It's been a discovery thing. That's why I hate it. But then you have the thing where you have a very basic idea, like the thing on radical feminism. You knew what had happened in the last one. You see the parallel thing happening. So the paper is really an elucidation of a series of events that indicate the conclusion is the solution. Now, that would be an explanation. Theory that resulted in a proposition, which would be somewhat different from just resulting in saying you see similar patterns. Now, keep in mind, there's been no decent political theory. Almost all political theory, Hobbes, more recent stuff, I mean, has always been a defense of the status quo. So that has always been, it's almost too dignified to call it an explanation theory, because it's going from saying this: we have a monarchy and this is why it's the best, and you kind of dump on anything, naturally, the people on the bottom. And I'm not saying, I mean, we've got to get over the idea that it's perfection down there either, you know. But it's, you know, everything is put in the service of that explanation. Any studies are, you know, the studies that are picked, the samples that are used, and so on. You have to watch for distortion. On the other hand, one of the great problems in the women's movement is that you must demand of the theory you write, political theory on women, as high, if not higher, standards than you do for your opponent, from your opponent. So there are all sorts of things that in practicing, and maybe if every week people practice, and then also maybe discuss each other's theories and what they've discovered, I think there's going to be a strengthening, and that will not make the limitations that I realized might be a danger if we just dealt with political theory, because there are some weird special features of political theory. Then I had something here about a distinction between an answer and an explanation. And it would be like finding the cause of a disease. I started saying you have a disease, right? And you want to find a cure. So keep in mind another important thing to talk about is how would your purpose for wanting a theory affect the nature of the theory? Mm-hmm. For instance, you have a disease, cancer, as a problem. You want an explanation of that for a very special purpose. You want to know what the initiator of cancer is, because you want to be able to find a cure, and that's the key to the cure. So the purpose of explaining the problem is to find a cure. So you would not be as interested in all of the different well, you'd have a question like, are all cancers, wherever they are located, produced by the same initiation external to the body, or is each one initiated differently by a different cause? You would not, in other words, the whole explanation would not be interesting to you past what was necessary for your purpose.
The final answer, after cure, then a prevention.
Well, then you say, right. But then, see, what you're dealing, the question you've raised now is, it's very interesting, I mean, I won't, when you go home, think about how it relates to political philosophy. Mm. You already see it.
Yeah.
That is, if a disease is externally caused, there have to be, and there are degrees of this, internal conditions receptive to this initiation. So your prevention would involve.
Well, once
well, that's an interesting. I mean, that's
once the political thing is cured, then they can go into prevention.
But the prevention would have to do with getting to the ultimate cause, and that's why the ultimate cause of oppression itself, which is totally ignored by the women's movement, which I tried to work on some in that metaphysical cannibalism.
Shouldn't that somehow come out of definition, though?
What do you mean?
In terms of, if we're dealing with, take cancer, if we're dealing with cancer, its causes and so forth, shouldn't somehow, in explaining what cancer is, the definition of cancer, the definition of the disease itself should be somehow.
But you're saying definition. As opposed to explanation?
No, with explanation.
What's the difference between, in that case, a definition and
identification,
explanation?
Identification, I suppose.
What do you mean, identification?
In other words, if we have the disease, we can. Okay, if we have a cancer, a particular cancer, we can identify that particular cancer
then
by
you're
identifying
symptoms.
No. She's changing her
right.
Definition.
Right.
In other words, between a subset and a set. Your original set.
She was saying
she was treating definition as a subset and comparing it with an original set, i.e. explanation. Does everybody follow that?
Yes.
Ellen doesn't?
No, what's the subset?
This is important. Again, in watching what I call slates of hand in political theory, which is important in class systems. That's why we get into mathematical logic later. You have an original set. like apples. Mm-hmm. Now, this is true. We'll use the most stringent mathematical, logical concepts, right? We won't. You take one subset out at a time. Right? Now, you have your original set of apples, and you decide to take out all yellow apples. That's a subset. Mm-hmm. Now, what Alberta was doing was comparing as if they were about the same thing, the subset of yellow apples and apples as a whole class.
Yeah, that gets to be a very messy situation when you're writing.
That's why you're here, right? Exactly. So that these mistakes, I mean, see, I have had to all along check my own writing in the women's movement, right? And that's one reason why you need theory construction. Also, it helps you build your theory because you're clearer about what you're doing and what you're about. So in other words, you have your whole laboratory there and you know certain possibilities, and while you may discover others, you have a certain basic set. So that won't happen once just the practice and you just simply...
There's something else I wanted to clear up that was mentioned about sometimes in setting forth a premise, only using the information that is, in other words, not using information that's not necessarily
relative.
At what point does one decide what is and what isn't?
Okay, you have a problem, say, take an example. Okay. A certain paper I was writing was on defining a class of women and what was special or unique about this class. Now, right away, you pose a question that asks something. You break down a question into manageable parts, which you can do even if it's... The women's movement and all the political movements are, because of course the anti-war and so on, the black movement too, is still is not doing theory construction. They are, as I said, Marxist potboilers, or warming up stuff from another time that wasn't really that great then. That's why this is, you have to get so that you write statements and you understand. Well, like you were doing with definition and explanation. See, that's good. That's important. That out of this you begin to understand. It's important. That's why it's important. Everybody participates equally, because Alberta's learned that better than anybody else here, because it was her mistake. And the same with the theory. Now, I think maybe what people should do is, for Friday, because I'll be here so I can pick them up, to write to name as many examples of different kinds of theory they can think of based on the structure of the theory and or the purpose of the theory, like, say, for instance, how would musical theory fit into this? how would, because aesthetic theory is considered like a whole nother bag. Is it? If you take it, now we're dealing with the most abstract terms. So this is the place where you're going to be able to really get someplace on these things. You're dealing on the meta level. Think of that try to think up ideas. If you have trouble thinking up different types, and think of any kind of field you can think of. That might help.
Field
like a musical theory, scientific theory, general aesthetic theory under which musical theory may or may not fit sufficiently. You might have to broaden the aesthetic theory to encompass an adequate explanation of all these things. Very often, as you discover examples, you have to broaden your definition of, say, an aesthetic theory. And what is involved in that? So that, but start to try to relax, try to be in a situation when you work on these things, be in a room that's closed, you're sitting at a desk or table, because it's very, give yourself a chance. And then just sit down and write, just start jumping out into different directions and see what you come up with, because you may very well come up with new things. Like, say, for instance, I've seen people teach basic logic courses, and students will very often come up and, in fact, have made new discoveries, new answers to things, simply because it's a fresh mind coming to it. So you may very well, the important thing is to experiment, to exercise these muscles enough, which comes from twisting them every which way, so that you'll have a certain facility. That means a lot of movement. If you run out of that, if you have trouble with that, but it's better to stick with that if possible, try to give examples, whether it's a long one of one example or short ones or different, however you want. And I'll look at these between now and Friday, and I'll know better what people don't understand or what links are missing that we have to fill in. So in other words, I'm doing with the workshop what you should be doing with the theory. I'm on new ground. And I do it by having an idea. I have a hypothesis. It's already changed quite a bit. I have to test it, see what's happening, alter it some more, so on.
When you say try to give examples, you mean off theories?
You could do that if it seems... you have to do what seems to you most fruitful. Now, one way to do it, too, is to give yourself... to figure out how many hours a week you want to spend on it. And to say, if you want to spend 6 hours a week on it, spend like 2 hours, or you really need a couple of hours anyway to even begin getting into it in an evening or whenever you can sit down and do it. The more time you spend and the quality of the time, the better you're going to get. Now, a good example of what we've been talking about is the paper I did for that speech. Now, number one, I was originally going to do it very strictly in terms of the church as it relates to women. But I found in speaking with people that many people didn't understand the connection between the church and various forms of government. They didn't understand it as a political entity. So this meant that I spent... Now, this gets tricky. Because at what point do you believe they don't know the connection? Mm-hmm. And at what time are they just saying that? And then you're going to run around trying to prove that. And then as soon as you lay it out, you realize they did know all along. And they were just saying that. So at what point is it a reasonable question? At what point is it not? So that the majority, it was very different than I had originally planned it. Because I didn't get nearly as much into the details of how they affect women, because if people didn't have that basic groundwork, they would not grasp the other point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a case of where you find that you're dealing, from their point of view, with a subset. And which is, in fact, a subset if people don't understand that the church is political. And